If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. And I'm so glad that you're joining us. Freedom House, we love you. Ladies, you guys are doing incredible things to see life change. Guthrie, America, incredible. I love your pastor who had a birthday yesterday. Come on, yeah. Yeah, Pastor Hetty. 1 year older, okay? And Oklahoma City, everyone's watching online. Thank you for joining us. We are starting a new series today, How to Win. And so I hope that this helps you out because all of us want to win. We're going to talk about what that looks like in the spirit realm and some of the things that we need to implement in our lives to help us to win. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 12 says this. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out or stretched out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing." You know, Jesus, his will for your life is for you to be whole in all areas of your life. Let's continue to read. He said, "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet, the news about him, Jesus, spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to him and to be healed of their sickness. Stop there for just a moment. Can you imagine the life of Jesus Christ and how busy it was? Could you imagine the crowds that began to just gather around him, like just get a piece of him, just to touch him, get his attention, get FaceTime with Jesus, the original FaceTime? Can you imagine what that was like for him? He was busy. Now, next slide, please. Oh, I'm sorry. How did that get in there? It was a mistake, I guess. And if you don't know what this is about, this is my grandson, okay? I got to see yesterday for the first time in 9 days, and so, come on, that was great. I just thought, I don't know how that slipped in there, but okay. Next verse. Notice what it says. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What was Jesus' response to chaotic, crazy, busy crowds asking for his attention, begging for his time? His response was, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Would you hold out your hands, please? And let's repeat this prayer after me, if you would. Just close your eyes and say, "Lord Jesus, give me the ears to hear what you have to say. And give me the faith to believe what you say. And today, give me the courage to obey what you say. It's in your name I pray." And everyone said a big amen. Amen. You may be seated. Two questions for you that I'm going to lay out. It's kind of a foundation for this series. Okay. First question is this. What am I currently not doing that if I were doing would stretch me as a follower of Jesus? Let that sink in just a little bit. What is it that you're not doing that if you were doing would stretch you as a follower of Jesus? The second question I have for you is, what am I currently doing that if eliminated would stretch me as a follower of Jesus? So what is it that I'm not doing that I should be doing? What is it that I'm doing that needs to be eliminated? Both of those are going to stretch me as a follower of Jesus. Because I have found that anyone, whether it's athletes, whether it's business, that if you're going to win in life, there has to be a stretching process. There has to be a pull. There has to be a getting out of your comfort zone. As you walked in today, you should have received a wristband. If you don't mind, put this on. As a matter of fact, I'm going to encourage you to wear this throughout the series as a constant reminder on how to win. This is basically, for all practical purposes, a rubber band. Rubber bands are meant to stretch. They're used for many purposes. You can put them over an item that you want. I know for me, when I travel, we try to always travel very light, so we don't check bags. Even when Shannon and I, you know, was gone for 25 days overseas, we just simply carry on our back. And so we take and tie everything up very tight, put rubber bands on it, and hold it together. But they have a purpose. It's the same way in your life. Your faith is meant to be stretched. That means being uncomfortable at times. It means getting in places where you feel like, I need God because I can't do this myself. But oftentimes, we just want to stay comfortable. And I'm going to ask you to stop and think about what areas of your life need to be stretched. Specifically, we're going to be talking about, over this series, how to win spiritual disciplines, because it's the spiritual disciplines that give you the tools, the skills, what you need to stretch you so that you can win in life the way God wants you to win in life. I specifically today want to talk about one of those called solitude. In your notes, look at this, the state of being alone with God. Now, if I were to just pull it up in the dictionary, it would be solitude, the state of being alone. But in a spiritual context, we're not stopping with that. It's the state of being alone with who? With God. That's what solitude is. Now, for many of you, solitude is like, oh, you know, that's very uncomfortable. In a day and age where noise is everywhere and busyness is constant, crowds are, we need solitude. We need. The poet Marianne Moore argues that the cure to loneliness in our society is solitude. And I agree. Because we almost fear being alone. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not talking about loneliness. Loneliness leads to emptiness. Isolation feeds the flesh. But solitude fills us up. And solitude feeds the spirit. Because solitude is not being really alone, because you are really with God. And there is a huge, huge difference. And I just want you to stop and think about the solitudes in your life. And let me just give you a few. One is little solitudes. Take opportunity this week and begin to implement little solitudes, because there's those little moments that you have opportunity to seize being alone with God. What are those? It could be just laying in bed at night right before you go to sleep and just simply acknowledging God and soaking in the moment. It could be the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is just say, God, right now. It could be when you go, you know, lock yourselves, ladies, in the bathroom to get away from the kids for just a moment. Little solitudes. Maybe it's driving down the road. Now for some, maybe it's with a cup of coffee on your back porch, just sitting there for just a moment and drinking in more than the coffee, but drinking in the presence of the Lord. Maybe it's just getting away at work and just, maybe it's just going to your car. And I used to do this after work oftentimes, is get in my car, drive somewhere at a park, just stop, settle before I went home to have times of solitude, because I knew when I got home, it was going to be kids everywhere, things were going to be crazy, and just the 15 minutes alone in the car, just quiet, was my God moment. And for some of you that struggle with ADD, Emmy, like me, come on, for that, you got to press through. And if you sit and you take notes, I encourage you to have a notepad or something, and because oftentimes when I get silent and quiet, what begins to flood my mind? All the to-dos. All the list of things that I get accomplished. All the things that's waiting for me. And when you do, don't because if I don't have a pen and paper there, then I am tormented by that, because all I'm thinking about is that. But what I do is I just begin to write those things down. I don't feel guilty about that. And as I get them out of the way, it allows me to begin to focus on really what I'm there for in the first place, is alone with God. Little solitudes. Also, there's planned solitude times. Okay, this is you scheduling in. This is you being purposeful. Now, the little solitudes are taking advantage of those little moments, but this is being very intentional to say, I'm going to schedule time with God. Maybe it's in the morning, maybe it's in the evening, maybe it's a lunch hour. You need to know your schedule, and you get to be, and then you can't let the schedule control you. You got to control your schedule and say, these are planned times that I'm going to take weekly, maybe monthly, maybe even yearly. Some of those may be planned times where you just spend 1 hour a week. Some of those may be 3 hours a month that you say, I'm going to take this morning time, and it's going to be a time that I'm going to be alone with God. I'm going to ask my husband to take the kids. I'm going to get alone. Maybe it's just I get out of my, you know, dormitory, or I get out of my apartment with all of my, you know, my roommates, and I'm just going to go to a park and set down planned times alone. Last night, we had a planned time at our house, a time of worship, where 26 people gathered. We listened to Elizabeth, who produced an album recently, and she just sung songs and worshiped. And for me, that was a time of solitude. We didn't talk. We just simply listened and worshiped and heard the voice of God. Those were times of planned solitude. I believe that coming to church should be, yes, you're meeting with people, but there should be that locked-in moment where even though you're surrounded by people, you are alone with God, hearing Him. Next is this, God moments of solitude. You see, God moments of solitude, I think, are a combination of the first two. As you begin to implement little times of solitude and planned times of solitude, God moments of solitude will happen. I have sensed that. And when those happen, take advantage of them. Because there's times that I've been driving down the road and all of a sudden this presence of God just overcomes me. Have you ever had that? In that moment, seize the moment. While you, as a follower of Christ, plan those moments and take those little solitudes, those God moments, seize them and just soak in everything that God has and say, God, I'm listening right now. Speak to me. God moments of solitude are important. For me, solitude is about persistence. It's about practice. It's about perseverance. One of the great golfers of all time, Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer made this statement years ago when he was asked about how good he was. He said, man, you are so good. How do you, and he basically, as a matter of fact, one reporter made this statement. He said, and you're so lucky. You chip in more shots from off the green than about anyone else. You are so lucky. You know what he made statement back? He said, it's amazing. The more I practice, the luckier I get. I want you to stop and think about the presence of God in your life. The more you practice the presence of God, the more you're going to have God moments with Him. That He's going to show up in your life. You see, seasons of growth happen with seasons of solitude. If you're going to go up and to the right, it's not by chance. It's because you begin to take moments to be alone with God. God. You see, Jesus practiced and He prioritized solitude. At the very beginning of His life, before one miracle was done, you know what He did? He was led of the Spirit into the, where? Wilderness for 40 days of what? Solitude. Being alone with God. Now, as you notice, in that story, if you go back, the Satan also met Him there. Because anytime that you schedule to be alone with God or you're led of the Spirit to be alone with God, Satan is going to try to interrupt the agenda that God has for your life. And what do you attack him with? The Scriptures, the Word of God. So let me just say something about solitude. When you take time, have God's Word available there with you and read His Word. It's interesting. The Spirit led him into solitude. The Spirit's going to lead you into sometimes unwanted times of solitude. Maybe it's being alone. Maybe you're a student and all of a sudden for the first time you're alone because other students are not making the choices that you were raised to make. And all of a sudden you feel like you are isolated and alone and you've got to make a choice. Do I just join the crowd or do I use this as opportunity as my wilderness to be alone with God and let God do something great in my life? Maybe you're a young mom and you got craziness going on and you've given up work to take care of your kids and all of a sudden you feel this sense of like craziness going on in your life and you feel overwhelmed by the solitude and the lack of adults to talk to in your life. You can use that as a moment to realize that God has placed me in my wilderness and I've got to seize these opportunities that I have, these little solitudes, these planned solitudes to be alone with God and let God work deeply in me. Maybe you've lost something deeply in your life, somebody you love, a relationship, a marriage. Take advantage of it as opportunities to be alone with God, to spend time with Him, and let God do something deep inside of you. You see, because it's when you are led in by the Spirit into the wilderness, times of solitude, that you are being stretched. There's purpose behind that. And you know that stretch is to launch you. It's to send you out. You know, when Jesus spent 40 days, that was the launching pad for His greatness to impact the world. And sometimes your times of solitude are to pull you and stretch you and launch you. Come on, you better be paying attention. Come on, let me pull one of these back so far and it goes all the way to Guthrie right now, okay? You hear me? And you're pulled back and you're stretched and you're stretched and you're stretched and you're stretched until it goes, boom, you're out there. You see, because the stretching has purpose to send you. It sent Jesus, and the purpose of being stretched is to send you out. And when Jesus went out, there was something powerful. Because you see, solitude's not in vain. I was thinking about this with young parents. Samson, Hope, our pastors, made this statement this past week to me that they had to get away for a couple of days from Charlie. Okay, Charlie's their 9-month, 10-month old that they're like, I just got to get away for a day. But it's amazing how they would get away from day because they feel like they need that. But in their solitude away from Charlie, they were longing for Charlie again. And you know what solitude does? As you steal away with God, it's that refreshing, that's that rejuvenating you get so that you can go back and serve people again. And you got to have both of them in your life. If you're going to love God and love people, you got to work both of them in your life, and they work hand in hand. So Jesus prioritized. He prioritized it for what reason? Let me give you a few reasons. Write these down. First off, for big decisions in His life. You see, because His solitude is essential for big decisions that you're facing. Man, I look back in my life, and there are times that I regret decisions I make, and every time I have regretted a decision, it's because I really didn't take times of solitude with God. Before we started North Church, Shannon and I spent a lot of time in solitude, thinking and praying and searching and asking and just alone time with God. And it was one of the greatest decisions we ever made. But we took that time of solitude. Be careful before you make big decisions. Make sure you spend time alone with God. Look what Jesus did. Look at verse number 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray alone and spent the night praying to God. Stop there for just a moment. What's going on in Jesus' life? Jesus, at the beginning of His ministry, He's about to make the decision to pick the 12 apostles that are going to be His right hand by Him. And so what He does is He looks at all of His disciples, the hundreds and the multitude and the crowds that are following. He says, God, I need to pick 12. I've got a big decision. So He goes and spends the night in prayer and talks to God and comes down and makes the selection. Look at verse number 13. When morning came, He called His disciples to Him and chose 12 of them whom He designated what? Apostles. A big decision. What big decision do you have lurking in your life? What big decision do you need to have made in your life? What do you do? First off, is solitude. I need to hear from God. I need to be alone with God. Get away the noise and the clutter to hear His voice. Secondly is this. Jesus prioritized and practiced solitude to get perspective. Yeah, I wear glasses and I wear contacts. Matter of fact, I wear contacts where I have actually one contact in this eye right now, okay? And tomorrow I'll probably switch it to this eye. So one eye has a contact, one eye doesn't. I know that's confusing and maybe messes up some of you, but that's the way I operate, all right? And then when it comes to glasses, I'm different from most guys about my age is that I wear glasses to see a little bit in the distance, but if I'm reading, I take them off because it messes me up, all right? I know that is, but glasses give you what? Perspective. Oftentimes, we feel like we need perspective when we're going through difficult times and dark moments, and I agree with that. But let me argue this thought, is that oftentimes, we probably need perspective more when we go times of victory than even defeat. Because it's in the times of victory that oftentimes we begin to depend on ourselves instead of the giver of all the power and the resource in our life. Look what Jesus, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 21. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. Okay, what's going on here? This is the loaves and fishes thing. This is where Jesus takes the young man with the loaves and fish, and because no one else had food, he takes his lunch, he begins to break it apart, feeds 5,000 men besides the women and children, which most believe there's going to be 15,000 plus people. 15,000 plus people he feeds. Oh man, people are just like, wow, this is awesome. This dude is incredible. Victories are happening right now. Continue on. Notice what it says. Immediately after this, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to what? When evening came, he was there, what? Alone. Two different times, the scripture says here, he wants you to understand he was alone. He was alone. But with what? With God. Do you see this? Let me just challenge you. When you have victories, when you have the salary increase, when you get the promotion, when you get the job, you know what your first reaction should be? Not to surround yourself by everybody in a party and rejoice and shout, you know, and eat. That's okay, do that. But the first thing, get alone with God and get perspective and realize any good gifts that you receive in life is not of your own doing or abilities or powers. It's a gift from God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Write this equation down. Change of pace plus a change of place equals a change of perspective. Sometimes you've got to shake things up, and that's what solitude is about. It's about shaking things up. I know sometimes when I'm studying, I can't get anywhere. You know what the best thing for me to do is? Change my pace, change my place, and then I come back a little bit later and I get a what? When you're going through a difficult time, what do you need to do? Change your pace, change your place, you get a different perspective. Solitude is what you need as part of that. Third thing is this. Jesus prioritized and practiced solitude to deal with the pain, to deal with pain. It is amazing to me. I go sometimes to hospitals and I will see individuals that are dying, that are battling cancer. And as you walk in, the TV's blaring, news is going, all different types of noise is going. People, and I'm like, oh. And then I go into some people's hospital room and I hear worship music and I sense a whole different presence and a peace about things because there is a solitude there. They're being alone with who? God. That's what it's about. I invite your home. Let me your home become a sanctuary. Not just filled with clutter and not filled with just noise, but so that you come home and it's a place of refuge and a place of peace. Man, studies have shown that most people, this is amazing, blew me away. Some 70% of people would rather choose electrical shock than to be alone in their own thoughts. Because the idea of whatever's going on in their life or the pain, all things, it just haunts them more than electrical shock. That was an official study done by scientists. I'm gonna challenge you to learn to take your pain to God and be alone with him in solitude and watch God begin to heal the pain in your life. Notice what it says in chapter 14 and verse number 12. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus, what's going on here? What's going on? John the Baptist is Jesus' right-hand man, best friend. Come on, think about this. 6 months older than him, he's his cousin. He's the one that baptized Jesus. He's the one that was the forerunner. He's the one that said, I can't even untie your shoes. You are so powerful. You know, this is the man that Jesus said, there's none born among women who is any better than this guy. This guy is, and yet he was thrown in prison because he spoke out against Herod's adultery for taking his brother's wife, Philip. So Herod's brother, Philip, he stole his wife, Herodias. And then Herodias' daughter dances before him. And he enjoys the dance so much, he says, whatever you want, I'll give to you. And the girl goes back to her mom and says to Herodias, what is it I should ask of Herod? She says, I want John the Baptist's head. She hated him that much. He comes back in and says, I want John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. Herod went and gave the head of John the Baptist to this young girl. John's dead now. Jesus hears the news about his beloved cousin, friend, forerunner. And here's Jesus' response. When Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. How should you deal with pain? In solitude? Being alone with what? Now, it's not just being alone. It's being alone with God. Which brings me to the last thought. Jesus prioritized and he practiced solitude to be refueled. How do you refuel yourself? Please stop and think about this. How do you refuel yourself? What is it that you do to restore what's been depleted during the week? I heard someone say years ago, the same spirit that rests upon Billy Graham rests upon you. The difference just may be solitude. Let me just take it a step further. The same spirit that rests upon Jesus. Because Jesus said the same spirit will rest upon you. The difference very well could be solitude. Alone time with God. How about it? Let's look what Jesus did to be refueled. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick, the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, get this. He is ministering to late in the night. It says that night after sunset, people are coming. This is late in the evening. He has worked all day. He's done all those things. What's his response to be refueled? Notice, verse number 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Do you ever feel that way? Everyone wants you. What do? You hide with God. Come on. You need it. There's people that need that today. You need this message, and you need to be stretched. You need to be stretched with solitude. I want to challenge you this week, every location, 7 minutes for the next 7 days. 7 minutes of solitude. Where you block everything out. Some of you, that may not be anything. For some of you, that is going to be a huge task in itself. But then pick one day in these next 7 days to take 70 minutes of solitude. 70 minutes of solitude. Being alone with God. Getting all the noise and the clutter to hear his voice. But right now, I want us to practice some solitude. In Guthrie, Oklahoma City, Pastor Hedy will come to the stage when we're done with this time. But I'm going to pray. When I say amen, we're going to launch in a time of solitude. If you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can receive him right now in this time of solitude. If you need healing, receive it right now. But I just want you to lock yourself in. I know there are other people around you, but lock yourself in alone with God. Hear him. Be alone with him. Father, I pray right now by your Spirit. Do a work right now inside of us that's going to stretch me. Stretch us to understand what it means to be alone with you. I pray this in your name, God. Your power, your Spirit, the same power that rests upon Jesus, the same Spirit rests upon us. The difference just could be solitude. May we hear you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the North Church Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and empowered by the Word of God. For more information about North Church, check out our website at north.church. There you can view more messages and join us for experiences live online. You can also subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great week, and remember to love God, love people, and follow Jesus.